The title of the message today is this: when life doesn't turn out the way you thought it would. I've thought about this principle over time. I thought about my own life and even the lives of others. And what happens when life doesn't turn out the way you thought it would? And I'd like to pose the question. If somebody were to ask you that question, would you say, you know what, the image I had when I was young of how I thought my life would go, does it match the current experience that I'm experiencing? And if I were to be honest, I'd raise my hand and I would say, you know, my life hasn't turned out based on the mental portrait or picture I had when I was young. Who else would say that's them? Good number of people. Now, if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, my life is pretty much where I thought it would be at this stage, you're amazing. Keep it up. We'll be talking about both sides of the coin here. But I want to focus on one theme. It's this. What happens, how do we respond to when life does not turn out the way we thought it would when we were younger? Now, in the book of Habakkuk, it's three chapters long, total of 56 verses. First two chapters, Habakkuk is talking to God, and he's raising questions to God and saying, why is life like this? I see unfairness, injustice. It just doesn't add up. God responds, and then Habakkuk asks some more questions. By the time he gets to the third chapter, his heart is changed. It becomes a prayer. And he begins to pray to God, and he says, you know what? I believe I can trust God even though life hasn't turned out the way I thought it would. Now, in your notes is Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. I got to give you the backstory on this. At a staff meeting a month or two ago, we somehow started talking about these verses and thought, you know, that would make a great message. And then the kids met a couple weeks ago, and they did a Bible quiz using Habakkuk. And it's kind of like, okay, it's time to talk about Habakkuk. And so let's read together Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19 in your notes. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. We'll be doing a deeper dive of those three verses a little later in the message. But here's the big idea of the sermon. It's in your notes. Faith enables you to be victorious when life doesn't turn out the way you thought it would. I want us to understand, if you're here today and life has not played out, panned out in such a way that you thought it would, faith is the difference maker so that you can live victoriously despite it being different than what you thought it would be 10, 20, 30 years ago. And so in Habakkuk chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses there in your notes, and I want to talk about them. Here's what he says to God. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Maybe you're here today and you're in a season, a valley, where you have called out to God for help, and it seems like you're not getting anywhere. It's you're not making progress. He goes on to say, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? In other words, it seems like the enemy people were winning. The people that aren't serving God are doing better than me. He says, destruction and violence are before me, there is strife and conflict abounds. I thought about these verses and I thought about the world and the country we're living in. There's destruction and violence all over the place, and conflict abounds. He goes on to say this, therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. Here's what he was saying. Somewhere, someplace, some people in his life, whether they're leaders of the country, it says the law was paralyzed. It was set aside. It's like it's null and void. And justice never prevailed. And so he's struggling inside himself with an unfairness as he looks out over the life, his life and the people he's among. He went on to say this, the wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. In other words, he saw things that just didn't add up. Justice was not being executed. It was perverted. And he's struggling. He says, I don't get it, God. Why is this happening? And when life doesn't turn out the way we think it should be, the question is, what do we do with that? How do we respond? How do we get on top of it? So the first two chapters, Habakkuk is just walking through this question and answer time with God because he's struggling with what's going on the inside. You know, in the world, in the country we live in today, I think we can relate to this. It's like some things just don't add up. And so there's this inner turmoil, and yet God has an answer for his children of how to respond when life doesn't play out the way we think it should. Backside of the sermon listening guide. I've called this though and yet. I will explain it as we go along. I want to talk about three things in Habakkuk's life that I think apply to everybody here. And as we walk through them, I hope you find yourself in this story. If life hasn't turned out the way you wanted it to or thought it would, find yourself in this story. God has a word for you. He's got a powerful word to enable and empower you to rise above it. Okay, number one. Habakkuk experienced unwanted circumstances. You may be here today, and you're in a situation in life that is unwanted. It just showed up. You would not pick it, you would not choose it, but life has a way of presenting things to us that just like, where did this come from? I didn't expect it, I didn't see it coming. Habakkuk had these unwanted circumstances. Now, in chapter 3, he talks about them. The Babylonian army, or the people, are going to invade God's country, and they're going to plumage the land. And the reason is it's an act of judgment against the people because they've drifted from God. And he sees what's coming. It's not a pretty thing. But he puts it in such a way that we find encouragement from it. So let's read together verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Three times he uses the word though. It's a conjunction. It connects thoughts together. And he says there are six things. He says, though the fig tree doesn't bud, no grapes on the vine, the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. These are the big holes in his life. Now let me stop here. There's a line here, and it says the word though on it, and it's got two lines after it. I want you to think about the though in your life. You probably have more than one of them. I do. It's something that I thought would play out by this time in my life, and it hasn't. And it's though this stuff has not happened. You have a though as well, probably many. I want you to take those. I want you to write them down. Do it in shorthand so people can't figure it out. Maybe it's very personal. Write it down. Identify the those in your life. You know why? You know what you're working with. Put a name on it. Identify the emotion. Identify the experience. It could be a relationship issue. Maybe it's divorce and it's caused great pain. Maybe it's a friction with somebody in your family. Maybe it's a personal failure. Maybe it's a disappointment of something you wanted to happen and it hasn't. Maybe it's a financial reversal. And maybe you're at a place where you're saying, you know what? This is the though of my life. It's not what I want it to be. It's an unwanted circumstance. Listen, identify it. That's what Habakkuk did. Know what you're working with. Here's a couple of slides. Some things are so unexpected that no one is prepared for them. Isn't that true? Aren't there things that just show up in life that they just appear on your doorstep and say, where did this come from? You don't want it, you wouldn't have chose it, but it's there. It's an unwanted circumstance. And I want us to understand, we identify it because God is bigger than the unwanted circumstance in your life that's a though. Here's another quote. Growth is in the unexpected circumstances of life. Let me stop here. Do you want to know where you're going to grow the most spiritually in Christ-likeness? It's when you get stretched in a way that is uncomfortable. It may be painful. But growth comes from processing and working through those unexpected circumstances, the unwanted things that come into our life. So point number one, Habakkuk listed out six things that he said, wow, this isn't going to happen. I wish it was different, but it is what it is. All right, number two. The second point that I want to bring out is this. Habakkuk made a decision to anchor his life in God's sovereign care. I'll have Jake put that slide up. Habakkuk made a decision to anchor his life. It's a choice. Now, let me say this. If you're here today and you're in a valley, it's a deep hole in your life, it's a though. It's like, it didn't happen. I wished it wouldn't have. I wished it would have. Can I tell you, everybody has a decision to make of how we respond to the areas of our life that aren't what we'd like them to be. And so Habakkuk made this decision. Let's read verse 18 together. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Circle the word yet. Habakkuk lists out six things that aren't going his way. And then when he gets to verse 18, he says, yet, it's a pivot point. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's turning the corner. He says, yet, I will rejoice and I'll be joyful in God my Savior. May I suggest to all of us, we all make a choice of how we respond to the unwanted circumstances. And that choice will determine where we land going forward. Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. In Habakkuk 2:4, there's this great phrase. It says, but the righteous will live by his faith. Here's what it's saying. Your faith can make the difference in dealing with the those of your life. It's a faith factor that can lift us up. It's a faith factor that empowers God to work within us. It's a faith factor that can turn things around in a way that we couldn't otherwise. The just, the righteous will live by faith. And let me suggest, your faith in my faith is the pivot point or the point where we can allow God to make something good out of something bad. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Here's a couple slides. Trust in God's sovereignty. Trust. I was reading a book. It's called Not Guilty. And the author said, you know, what is it that gets God's attention? It's a real simple sentence or two. And here's what it really struck me. He says, when a heart trusts in God, it grabs God's attention. That's kind of neat. Anytime you and I trust when we don't understand, it gets his attention. Trust is a language of the heart that God responds to. All right, here's another one. The more clearly we see the sovereignty of God, the less fearful we are of the calamities of man. Think about that. The more you and I believe and embrace and trust in God's sovereignty, the less fearful and distressed we will be with what we hear going on in our country and in our world. It's true. So we have to lean into the sovereignty of God. So here's the last one. Faith is trusting God has a purpose in all that's happening in your life without knowing why. You know what pure faith really is? Say, God, I don't get it. I really didn't want it, but I'm going to trust you with it. And when you and I do that, we are turning a corner that our faith releases the power of God to work in us and through us to somehow make us better and to help and strengthen us to persevere. So we find here Habakkuk, number one, he had unwanted circumstances. So do we. Number two, he made a decision, a choice. And he said, even though these six things aren't happening, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. All right. Which brings us to the third point. Number three, Habakkuk focused on God's bigger purpose, not the perfect picture. I want to explain that. Habakkuk focused on the bigger purposes of God, not the perfect picture. I've used this phrase before. I read it in a book. I love it. Let me explain it. When we are young, we get a picture in our mind of what we want our lives to look like when we get older, do we not? And as we go through life, sometimes it may line right up. Other times, it gets broken along the way. I shared with the church family when I was 14, growing up in Iowa. You know, my brother Ron graduated from high school on a Tuesday night. That Friday night was eighth grade graduation. I graduated. It was a great day. Dad came home, died in the backyard of a heart attack. The picture we took on Tuesday night was amazing, all six of us. It was broken on Friday. The perfect picture was broken. Now, you may be here today, and maybe the picture you had of 20, 30 years ago is what it is today. Mine is not. But I tell you what, the perfect picture is something we can have in our head and heart, and God may bring it to pass. On the other hand, my hunch is you're here today, and your perfect picture of what you expected 20 years ago does not line up to what it is today. And the secret is this: take some pressure off your life. Don't live for the perfect picture. If it happens, enjoy it while you can, because chances are it could get broken at any time. Rather, lean into God's bigger purpose. Habakkuk had to let go of the perfect picture of a country that was at peace and everything was good and everybody was protected. The Babylonians were coming. He had to let go of the perfect picture. And he had to embrace God's bigger purpose. If you're here today, and I have to be honest, I struggled with the perfect picture for decades in my life. I had a mindset of how life would play out, and it didn't add up. And I remember when I read this, it freed me up. I hope it frees you up. Don't live for the perfect picture. It may or may not happen. You can always live for God's bigger purpose. Whatever that is, under his sovereignty, let me tell you, that's where the gold is. That's where you really get anchored in life. That's where you can feel confident about living. Say, God, I don't have the perfect picture, but I do believe in the bigger purpose. That's the secret Habakkuk teaches us. Read with me verse 19 in your notes. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. I love this. Second line, he says this. God makes my feet like the feet of a deer. If you are in a situation of unwanted circumstance, and yet you're making a choice to trust in the sovereignty of God, you know what he says he'll do? He will empower you. And he will make your feet like the feet of a deer. You know what deer do? They move quickly, swiftly. They're unencumbered. They can just go fast. He will make your life like that, even though you're in unwanted circumstances. You know why? Because he's God. And he goes on to say, he enables me, he empowers me to go on the heights. You're called to walk on the heights of the mountain, not to grovel on the earth at the low level. He wants you to go up. And you know how you get there? Even in unwanted circumstances, you make a choice. Yet, I will rejoice in God my Savior. I will anchor my life to his sovereignty. I will trust him though I don't understand it. And he says, the end result, he'll make your feet like the feet of a deer. You will move swiftly. You'll move fast. You'll be liberated. You'll feel good about your life. You can be confident, all because God does that in you. You can't do it yourself. And he says, he will enable me to be lifted up on the heights. I'm going to go up and see the big picture view of life. That's the secret of dealing with the those of life. You've got them, I got them. Write them down. Know what they are. It hasn't happened, God. I don't know why. But I do have this side of the ledger, which good things are in my life. And we deal with it and allow God to just lift us up. Here's a couple quotes. True faith is trusting the sovereign God even when we don't understand. If you're here today and you're in one of those places, keep trusting. Here's the next quote. There is no easy way to victory. The highest values in life must be fought for and won. Let me say this. Sometimes life is hard, isn't it? It is plain hard. But that is where the greatest victories come. You got to fight for it. You got to go after it. You know what? You want to be enabled to go on the heights. You want your feet as the feet of the deer. You won't allow the unwanted circumstances to tether your feet. After all, God wants to make you like the feet of a deer. Here's another quote. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. There's your picture. That's you, even though you have a bunch of those in your life, unwanted circumstances, things that are bigger than you are, he can still make your feet quick. And finally, here's the last slide. 1 John 5:4. If you can see that, let's read it together. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. I want you to notice the last three words, even our faith. If you and I have faith in the presence of unwanted circumstances, we make a choice. God, I'm going to trust you. You know what attracts the heart of God? When we say we trust him, he gets his attention. And then we say we're willing to let go of the perfect picture. One of the best truths somebody here will leave with is this today. You've been hanging on to the perfect picture. It may or may not happen. But God's bigger purpose is always there for the taking. And when we shift our focus, let me tell you, we get freed up on the inside. You know what happens when we get freed up? Our feet become like the feet of a deer. We feel better about life, even though it's not everything I thought it would be. He enables me to go on the heights. Because faith can bring victory to any person when we put our trust in God. Let's bow for prayer. Take just a few moments. Let God speak to your heart. The most important question is whether you've received Christ into your life. And maybe today that's it's the day to make that decision or to recommit yourself to Him. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You can pray it silently after me. Father, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. Forgive me of all my sins and trying to do life my way. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Did anybody pray that for the first time? Just put your hand up and put it down. Anybody? First time. Thank you. All right. Lord, I pray for everyone here today and everyone listening online that you'll make us like Habakkuk. Help us to identify the those in life. Things aren't perfect. But Lord, help us today to make a decision, a choice, that even though those things aren't what we want them to be yet, I will rejoice and give thanks and celebrate who God is in me. I pray for every person here that we'll let go of pursuing the perfect picture. It's evasive. And I pray every person here will lay hold of God's bigger purpose for our lives, whatever that is. Father, make every person here today and those listening online, make our feet like the feet of the deer. Enable us to go on the heights, to move swiftly and quickly and freely through life. Because faith brings us that victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.